believe. That's a story unto itself. You should look into contact this man. He'd love to talk, but he was fed up with the fact that, you know, because Sarkawi died and his son was killed by Sarkawi allegedly, at 4:30 in the morning, they're knocking on his door, and, you know, he opens it, and he's in his pajamas, and they're like, you know, how do you feel about Sarkawi's death? This was like CBS News or something. And he's just like, what's going on? He's telling me, you know, like, this is, like, unprofessional. This is, you know, ridiculous. And, yeah, I enjoy what this guy had to say, and I think you will, too. So why don't you check this out right here.
Alright, so, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Michael Berg, M-I-C-H-A-E-L-B-E-R-G.
And today you're here because of the Troop Summit Fest, among other things, I'm sure. Could you talk about why you're here today and what your message is that you're trying to bring to the movement today?
Well, I am here today in support with hundreds, maybe 1,000 other people who care enough about ending this war to stop eating for anywhere from 24 hours, which is about all I can afford to do if you look at me. I know you folks out there can, but I don't have much left to give. But some folks are fasting for a week, some for 2 weeks, and some for even longer. Someone asked me earlier today what I thought about the strength of this anti-war movement. And I said to them, it depends on whether you're talking about numbers or resolve. If you're talking about numbers, you know, 1,000 people isn't much, and I'm sure CNN, ABC, and Fox won't even report that we were here. But if you're talking about resolve, when you talk about people who are willing to go without food, when you talk about people who are willing to come down here, I was just talking to two women who drove all the way here from Boston and Western Massachusetts on their, you know, they're only 2 days off for quite a while, just because they believe hard enough and strong enough. So I'm here to add to that resolve to end the war now, to bring the troops home today.
And you're also campaigning because you want to become an elected official in American politics today and have more of an influence. And so what exactly are you campaigning on? What's your platform?
Well, I agreed to seek the nomination, which I now have been given, of the Green Party. I agreed to do that because I thought it would be a platform to extend my peace activities. To be honest with you, it hasn't been that much of a platform because every platform that I gain, I lose because of a very unfair law that says that nonprofit organizations like churches, schools, and peace groups are not allowed to support a political candidate. That is, unless he's a Democrat or a Republican. So I'm not allowed to go to a lot of places where I used to be allowed to go. But I am in it. I am in it to the finish. I am in it to win. And when I do win, I am going to, just by my winning, turn some heads in Washington, D.C. I'm running against a very popular Republican incumbent. And he is expected to win for the 8th time in a row. And he was twice the governor before that. So when I beat him, that's going to make people turn their heads and say, hey, we better start listening to these people or we're going to lose our seats.
And a final note, we're here reporting for the students to get them more aware and involved. Do you have a message for them that you could give for inspiration?
Yeah, when I was a high school teacher and the sponsor of Amnesty International, Amnesty International sent out a report that explained that the people in the society that most governments are most afraid of are the high school and college students. They're the ones that will have to be listened to tomorrow. For every one of us old geezers here, I'm 61, not everyone's old, you're not. But for every one of us, one of you is 10 times that much as far as influencing the people that need to be influenced. So get out there and do your thing. Get out there and do it before it's too late. Get out there and do it before you do it out of grief for one of your loved ones like I am.
And on a final note, how could someone find out more about your campaign, get involved, any information you can put out there?
You can go to my website, which is Berg for Congress, all words, bergforcongress.us, and all my positions on the war, on social issues, and on the environment are there. You can get involved. If you're in Maryland, you're not that far from Wilmington. So if you want to get involved, if you want to help us out in any way, just go to that website, bergforcongress.us, and let us know.
And that was Michael Berg, a father of a son who was beheaded in Iraq. At least he was told. He's not sure whether to believe that or not, because he was told a lot of things that conflict with each other. But that was, in a nutshell, him. And so now we turn to another special guest, James.
Yeah, I mean, we're just trying to make the transition. We're trying to find the candidates out there who are trying to fight for peace, and we have an interview here with Voters for Peace, which is, it's an online petition to people who are trying to sign around the world to say they're only going to vote for candidates who are in favor of peace and against any further U.S. wars of aggression. And we have an interview here with, what's she, the director?
Linda Shea, the executive director of Voters for Peace. You can also, like, sign out this pledge in print. It doesn't have to be online, but that is an easy way to do it, and she'll tell you the website and all about it.
Yeah, and this is yeah.
So, interview with her. With no further ado, here she goes. Can you introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Linda Shade, and I'm the executive director of Voters for Peace, which is a national organization trying to bring together a block of voters across the political spectrum to vote peace.
And could you talk about what the pledge says and what the aim of it is?
Yeah. You know what? Hold on a second. Let me get right there. Sorry. Go ahead and ask me that again.
All right. So what does the pledge say?
Well, the voter's pledge says, I will not vote for or support any candidate for Congress or president who does not make a speedy end to the war in Iraq and preventing future wars of aggression a public position in his or her campaign. So that's a very strongly worded pledge that commits a voter to vote peace, because essentially we're saying that not only is Iraq a problem, but future wars of aggression are a problem. They're illegal and against international war, and obviously they have many consequences, and we can get into what those consequences are as we talk.
Okay, so can you talk about when this started, how it became the formation of establishing this project?
Sure. We launched in March of 2006 this year, and our goal was to get several million voters to sign a pledge sending a strong message to congressional candidates in 2006 that they are very serious about the peace issue, they're going to vote on it, and so we are seeking millions to sign this pledge on our website, votersforpeace.org.
And can you talk about so far the response you've received, how many people you've been able to get pledged, and where are the main spots, I guess, around the country that you guys are working, I guess, from?
Yeah. Well, the response has been fantastic. We are sort of trying to do outreach, in some sense, to two groups of people, folks who already identify with the peace movement and folks who are against the war but are not yet identified with the peace movement. And so in the first category, we are working closely with important peace organizations like Peace Action, Code Pink, United for Peace and Justice, Veterans for Peace, Faithful America, and more. You know, it's a list that's growing every day. Those are some of the national peace organizations that we're working with and that have all said, wow, this is a great organizing tool. This voter's pledge is a great organizing tool to build our bases and to really get voters acting as a voting bloc together. And so the peace movement is, you know, joining behind this project as it's kind of a coalition project. At the same time, we're reaching out to people who don't yet identify with the war. One of the things that's really interesting is that, you know, as most people are aware now, peace is a majority position in the United States. It's not a few fringe people on the edges. The majority of Americans want to bring the troops home in Iraq, and that includes folks across the political spectrum. A lot of people don't know, for example, that libertarians, as an entire party, political party, just like, for example, the Green Party, they are against aggressive wars of aggression, and so those are also folks we're reaching out to, and of course even Republicans. Many of them are not happy with the nation building, the squandering of our national resources, the billions that we're spending to an unclear end. And so we are trying to reach out to people who do not normally associate themselves with the peace movement, don't think of themselves as a peacenik. And so those are the, so we're really trying to get the concept out that the peace voters are the new soccer moms. They're the new NASCAR dads. It's a majority position. If you talk to people around the country, if you do various polls in a state or, you know, nationally or in a city, you find that, you know, the war is one of their priority issues. And unfortunately, the leadership of, you know, really both major parties does not seem to be getting the message of where American voters really stand. And so we definitely want to wake them up and have them smell the coffee. There are a whole bunch of reasons that the war in Iraq does not make any sense at all.
And can you talk about how many people have you so far been able to collect signatures from?
Sure. Well, we have about 70,000 all told. Different organizations are signing on and are starting to reach out to their membership. And so there's a little graph in our database, and it's going up and up and up. And so we've probably got about 70,000 now. And it's literally like every time we check into the website, there's another like 200 on there, you know. And so that's where we are.
And so this has to do with voting.
Yep.
And we all know that 2006 is a big year for elections. So can you elaborate for our listeners on the upcoming major political, events?
Sure. Well, you know, there's a lot of interesting things because in terms of the 2006 elections. We can start talking about Democratic primary elections. One of the things that's very current right now is the race in Connecticut. You have Senator Joe Lieberman, who we all know was a vice presidential candidate, and he is now challenged. He's been in office, I think, for 18 years, and he is now challenged inside the Democratic Party by Ned Lamont, who is basically running on peace as an issue. And many people have seen, I guess it was on last night, they had a nationally televised debate. That race is nationally significant because everyone knows that there's a lot of divisions within the Democratic Party. Democratic voters are for peace, and a lot of the incumbent elected officials have not yet gotten the message. And so that is really an emblem. That's really a microcosm of the debate that's going on in the United States about this issue. You also have over the last, you know, well, for some time really, Republican incumbents who are coming out against the war. And people may have different reasons for it, but you also have various Republicans coming out against the war. It's not clear that in those districts that is, I don't know that there are Republican primaries where there's a conflict about that, but you will certainly see the war being a definitive factor in the general election in November. And then you have different races. For example, Badnarik is running in Texas for Congress. He's a libertarian. The war is an issue in that district. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. You have independent candidates. Kevin Zeese, of course, is running in Maryland. And it's very interesting because there's in the Democratic primary in Maryland, you have 14 Democratic candidates. The war is an issue in the primary. And then that is affected by the fact that you've got a peace candidate running in the general election. And so, again, you have the issue of peace being a significant factor in the dynamic in a lot of races, including, for example, the U.S. Senate race in Maryland.
Yo, you are listening to Linda Shade, Executive Director of Voters for Peace, a pledge for peace, that you will vote for candidates that do not support this current war. It will bring the troops home and will not be down with further wars of aggression. It's WMUC-FM College Park. That Fresh Radio Peace, Christian, James, and Matt. The counterbalance to the fair and balance, thatfreshradiopeace.com. And so one thing that people have discussed with me as far as voting this fall is that they may sign the pledge or in their mind they, you know, have an ideal candidate in mind, but of the two that they have to choose from, more or less, Republican, Democrat,
they don't see much of a option, I guess. Maybe there are no, like, peace candidates. So could you discuss, in Maryland at least, in the immediate area, who has so far taken on a platform for peace that people can look to if they want to go away from, I guess, the mainstream candidates right now?
Right. You're asking in Maryland specifically?
Yeah.
Well, in Maryland, it's very interesting. For example, you have a number of candidates. Well, in fact, almost all the Democratic candidates in Maryland are now saying they're for the war. Opposed to the war. For example, the front runner, incumbent Congressman Cardin, he now has an out of Iraq petition on his campaign website, which is very, very funny because this is somebody who has voted for funding for the war, failed to support exit strategies like the Woolsey Amendment, and so even somebody who is clearly not against the war, like Cardin, he's now wrapping himself in the cloak of a peace candidate. But, of course, that's totally absurd. But as far as I know, the Democratic candidates, or at least the most prominent ones, when you go to the issue of Iran, it's their peace credentials kind of fall away. For example, take Alan Lichtman, you know, progressive guy, certainly speaking to bring the troops home from Iran. But when you talk about Iraq, the commitment to future wars of aggression, which is part of our voters' pledge, gets a little thin there. Most candidates out there will not take bombing Iran off the table. And so, of course, there is a candidate in Maryland who is taking that position, which is Kevin Zeese, is the independent. There is also Bob Kaufman, who is a socialist running in the Democratic primary. These are the two candidates that I'm aware of who have actually taken Iran off the table. And so it's very interesting. I mean, we can talk more nationally, but we're sort of looking at Iran as a real litmus test. It's like, okay, it's very popular now to say you're against the Iraq war. It's such a disaster. It's such a waste of money. It's such an immoral slaughter of innocent human beings. But the real litmus test issue is the future wars of aggression. And I'd actually like to talk about that more, because if you go back to the language in our pledge, it says, you know, speedy end of the war in Iraq and preventing any future war of aggression. War of aggression is a really important phrase. It's a legal term that's embedded in international law. It's embedded in United Nations treaties. And basically, it says that you cannot unilaterally just start bombing a country, for example, like we did in Iraq. You can't make up a story and decide that you're going to start bombing cities where millions of people live. So that's really important because, for example, the peace movement in past wars has really organized against a particular war. And what we're hoping to do with this project is to get people understanding how all these wars are really not a productive use of society's resources. And so I encourage people, as you're looking at candidates around the country, is to ask the question about Iran and then see if you've got a real peace candidate in your hands.
And finally, I guess, could you tell people about how they can sign the Voters for Peace pledge, how they can get involved, any other hubs, I guess, of information that they can seek out that you recommend?
There are a number of websites. We don't endorse any candidates. The Voters pledge is not about endorsing candidates. It's just about organizing a block of voters, but there are websites out there where you can find candidates in your district. I don't know what your listening audience is, if you're a web-based radio show or what. Peace Majority Report, Peace Action, I think, has a voter's guide. But you should really, take the step to search out the candidates in your district. But I also wanted to say that the question you asked, which is, what do I do if I don't have a peace candidate in my district? I want you to know that that is the most frequently asked question that we get. Everybody wants to say that, and everybody wants to know the answer to that because, of course, there are, obviously hundreds of congressional districts out there and obviously the presidential race for 2008. Part of what we're telling people is, first of all, if you don't have a peace candidate, send your donation to a neighboring district where there is a peace candidate. Consider supporting a real peace candidate if you don't have one in your district. But also, if you don't have a peace candidate in your district, you should consider running for office yourself, or you should try and work on recruiting a peace candidate, because you know, obviously, you know, the war is a major issue. We are bankrupting our domestic financial needs. You know, that's, you know, it's like we've got Katrina, you know, our infrastructure is crumbling. We have education. We have so many unmet domestic needs. And the war is draining our treasury. It's such an important issue. It has environmental consequences. It has, you know, foreign policy consequences. We're ruining our relationships with people around the world. And we need more people running for office who are peace candidates, regardless of your political party. That doesn't matter as much as having a candidate who understands that this is a really grave threat to the future of our country. And so run for office.
And what's the website?
Our website is votersforpeace.us.
All right. Thank you.
And that was Linda Shade, Executive Director of Voters for Peace. You can check it out at votersforpeace.us. And for our last fresh piece, we have an interview with a buddy of ours, a veteran for peace. His name's Will Covert, also known as Will Peace. James, would you like to elaborate on
this? Yeah, sure. We met Will at, you met him at the Take Back America conference, but he's a vet for peace that we've been hanging out with whenever he's in town. He's an awesome guy, and It was an event at Bus Boys and Poets where Kevin Zeese, Mike Berg, and Ralph Nader were there talking about some stuff, and Will, you know, what they're trying to do with the, I think it was actually more for Kevin Zeese, like press conference to try and get his platform out there. But we got an interview with Will right afterwards, and he was talking about issues of how to get involved and what he's trying to do with changing his name to Will Peace, being the change that you want to see. And this guy's he's awesome, and he really just made me and Christian feel a lot better about, you know, what we're trying to do here. And it's a good interview.
This is an exclusive interview too. Yeah. Might I add, he's been proposed to be interviewed by other media outlets such as Fox News and what have you, but he refused. And he said, you know what, you guys, I'll give you guys the interview. So, enjoy it. Hopefully we encompass the great things that we have been saying about this man. You just have to meet him and get to know him personally. He'll give you a hug. He'll kiss you. He'll make you feel awesome. He's got a lot of good stuff to say. He's old. I mean, he's a seasoned activist. Long white hair with these crazy little gloves in his hands. I don't know. He's just a character, and I hope you love him as much as we do. Enjoy.
All right, so can you introduce yourself?
Yes. My name is Will Covert, and I am a veteran for peace.
And can you talk about who you're a veteran of, what war, your past experience?
I represent probably the vast majority of the veterans in the Vietnam era. When we talk about Vietnam, right away people ask me, when were you there? Well, I was never in Vietnam, but I am a Vietnam-era veteran. I am part of the war machine that supported those men that did the killing. And without me, that couldn't have happened, but I was not actually in combat.
And could you talk about now how you became a part of Veterans for Peace, why you made that transition, why you decided to join the group?
I have written history on my family back to 1625. My family came to this country in 1651. I was just driving through Indiana, southern Indiana from St. Louis, Missouri, and realized I'd done some research a while back on my family history. And my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Daniel, who not only fought in the Revolutionary War, but also the largest battle of the Revolutionary War, the Battle of Monmouth, New Jersey, took place on, or a portion of it took place on his farm. And he left New Jersey in 1795 and moved to southern Indiana. And so as I'm coming through, I got off the freeway and started looking around, walked into a sub shop and said, Does anybody know where Oregon Township, Clark County, Indiana is? And a woman says, sure, you just go down here about two or three blocks to the T, turn left, go out about 5 miles, and there it is. So then I asked, well, would there be an old cemetery? And she sent me to a church, and it was the wrong one. And there were some farmers there, and I have satellite for my computer. I looked up on the internet, and I showed them the information. They said, well, you know, that could be this other church out in a place called New Market. So I drove out there. Sure enough, there's an abandoned church, a Presbyterian church. In the back is a graveyard. And I start looking around, and I don't see anything. And then pretty soon, I start seeing my covert name on headstones. I didn't find his particular headstone, but that's the cemetery that he's buried in. So let me say that I'm a veteran. My father was a veteran. My father was at Pearl Harbor. My grandfather died as a result of mustard gas poisoning in World War I. My great-grandfather fought in the Indian Wars. My great-great-grandfather fought in the Civil War. I come from a long line of citizen soldiers. And I will say this, that not one of them did their duty so they could do it again. That's why I'm a veteran for peace. Okay? None of us that were involved in any way, okay, that was the objective, to have peace in the world. The current administration, they don't want that. They actually want a perpetual war. And I am opposed.
I guess on that note of, you know, keeping people motivated like in that sense so you don't have to go through the same problems again, it seems like, you know, activism goes kind of in waves. You know, people, you know, they get real active when things are bad in the society, and then they get some sort of little victory, and then they can cool down and they go back to their comfortable lifestyles. Like, what would you suggest, I guess, for people in order to maintain that, you know, the sense of oneness through, you know, if the war does end, how do we maintain this and not make it such a reactionary movement and make it more, you know, fighting the war that's coming next opposed to the war that's already in place?
Always a difficult task to keep people motivated. You know, in this country, and particularly right now, what we're looking for is the average American. He's trying to figure out where he's going to get the money for his gas. How is he going to get back and forth? How is he going to get his kids in school? All of those things, okay, that he's supposed to be concerned about. And when he's done with that, you know, he's going to watch the news at night, get to sleep, and get up in the morning. So it's really, really tough. And I don't know the answer. I don't know how outrageous this administration can be before it infuriates the people in this country. I trust in them. I have no choice but to trust in them. Okay? But by the same token, there has to be something to motivate them, to get them up, to make them move. Okay? All I can do is my part, and my part now is to show up. I sold my home 2.5 months ago in San Diego, California. I took the proceeds of the sale, and I'm traveling, and I'm showing up. Okay? I went to jail in Duncan, Oklahoma for the Halliburton protest. I've been to jail in Crawford, Texas, okay, and had about 7 hours with Daniel Ellsberg, who's the most remarkable man. I've been in protest in San Diego, New York, for the 29th parade, the 29th of April. Was in Crawford, Texas at Camp Casey. Washington, whatever was in Washington a couple of weeks ago that I've already forgotten.
Take Back America.
Oh, yeah. Take Back America conference. Buffalo, for Peace Has No Borders. I'm headed back to Buffalo and see if I can't help get that better organized and get it going. I have to believe that sooner or later something will happen, something unplanned, okay, will happen, and it will unify the people. If we don't have faith in the people in this country to do what is necessary when it's time, then we have no hope. Okay. Then it's time for me to go to Canada.
And
And could you talk about what we should do, suggestions you have for people that don't feel like they have much of a voice, that feel ineffective, that it's a futile effort to get involved, because that's what I find with a lot of my peers. And so what would you say, some inspiration, some techniques, suggestions to give to these people that need a little more hope and inspiration?
From your standpoint, from you two are doing it. You're doing what needs to be done. You're showing up, okay? You're committed to doing whatever it takes to make it happen. What it takes to motivate the rest, in the 60s, it was the draft. It was not only the draft, it was the nightly news where we saw the clips from Vietnam. We saw the bodies coming in. Anybody that underestimates this administration and thinks that they're fools are absolutely crazy. These guys are very intelligent men, and I don't believe for one minute that anything that's happened thus far in this movement that they didn't anticipate long ago and have taken steps. And that's why we're allowed to protest here, and we can do this and we can do that. Sooner or later, it's going to boil over. You know, Gandhi says that, and I'm hoping to get the quote correct, okay? When I despair, I always remember that truth and love will always win out. For a time, there are murderers and tyrants, and in the end, they always fall. Think about it. They always fall. And what it's going to take, I don't know. But I am so proud of you two and the group that you represented, the young people that have taken the initiative to be out there to do something. And that in itself is about the best motivating factor that I can think of for the youth. I was at a protest at UC San Diego, a campus of about 30,000 people. I would be precedent to say 200 people showed up. I was at the University of Texas, Austin, and somebody said that's a campus of 60,000, which seems a bit much, but it's a large campus. Maybe a couple hundred people showed up. So what my job is to show up and to continue showing up. Sooner or later, people are going to come along. It has to happen. This can't continue. This can't win. What's going on in this country cannot possibly win. So it's a matter of time. If Gandhi is right, there's a period of time between when we enter the chaos and when we exit the chaos. My job is to do whatever I can to shorten that period of time and to make it less painful in that period of time.
Do you have a message for people who are in the Army now and who are contemplating speaking out against the war? What advice would you give them to, show that we're behind them?
First of all, my heart goes out to them. The other thing is that this country has put my children in an untenable situation. If in fact this is an illegal war, that means that we have turned our sons and daughters into murderers. It puts them in a position of either one, obeying orders and being a murderer, or disobeying orders and being court-martialed. And my advice is, they have to weigh it out. If I were in the service right now, that's it. I wouldn't do it. I could not do this.
And to conclude, how could someone learn more about you? I know you had a website, and any groups that you would suggest people come into contact with and get involved with, that kind of thing.
If you're a veteran, I recommend Veterans for Peace. Great organization. Their purpose is right up front. You can visit their website at veteransforpeace.org. My website, willpeace.org. will peace in that what Gandhi said is we need to become the change we want to take place in the world. And so, play on my words, the woman that set up my website said, will peace, as in make it happen. And I dedicate my life. When I sold my home in California, I knew ahead of time that the chances of me ever being able to move back to my home state and to own a home were very, very slim. I had to give that up. But I didn't see any other way. I have to do this. I don't have a choice. This is madness. This is absolute madness, and it must stop.
To the love, y'all, y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach and won't you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us, send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning, where is the love?
Is the world insane? If love and peace is so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs, chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering as the youth are young. So ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I could ask myself, really what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of them dividends. Not respecting each other, denying thy brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know love. What's the love, y'all? Come on. What's the truth, y'all? Come on, I don't know. What's the love, y'all?
People killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. When you practice what you preach and what you turn the other cheek. Father, 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 help us.
The world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Yeah. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found.
People killing, people dying, children hurt and crying. When you practice what you preach, would you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning. Where is the love?
Where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love?
Peace!
towards it. More and more people are just taking on ramps onto the bridge and are just taking it over. It's just, I mean, I just.
With Michael Berg, Linda Shade, and Will Peace, formerly known as Will Covert. And we hope you enjoyed them. This is WMUC FM College Park. You should check out the station sometime if you get a chance. WMUCRadio.com is the website. You can listen to all the shows, live and archived, of ours and any other. You could also go to Facebook, Friendster, LiveJournal, MySpace, and do a search for WMUC, and you'll surely be able to find them. Should also come by Sundays from 6 to 9 p.m. We have some live music you ought to check out. It's called Third Rail Radio. And, yeah, so that's pretty much it for that, and I don't know, I guess, James, would you like to talk about, you know, the website that we've got, that we've been updating a lot this summer and that kind of thing?
Yeah, you guys are hanging out with That Fresh Radio Piece. We have a website at thatfreshradiopiece.com, easily enough, and yeah, we're pretty much promoting that as much as possible. We have all of the archives of all, this is our 18th show, so all 18 are up there. Hard to imagine it's already been 18, but yeah. And we got, you know, we put all the events that we broadcast up there, all the headlines, just pretty much the entire show is summarized up on there. And, yeah, we can listen to the show either streaming from the website. We have a podcast now. And, yeah, we're just really trying to get the word out about that as much as possible. Spread that, get syndicated possibly. But, yeah, it's good stuff. ThatFreshRadioPiece.com. Check it out. But, yeah, I think we're going to get into a little song from Christian.
Yeah, I'd like to also add that if you go to that website, keep on the lookout for our media section. A lot of people I've talked to recently aren't too well informed about what really is going on. There's kind of a movement for reform and advocacy. There are big names out there that if, I guess, you're in the know, you definitely would, you know, spark some interest in your head. But for the typical person that doesn't, like Robert McChesney, I don't know if many people are familiar with that name. Huge proponent of advocacy and reform, very intelligent individual, done a lot for the movement, and someone you should definitely check out. So be on the lookout for that. There's a media section. We'll sure to update it within the next few weeks and make that a centerpiece of That Fresh Radio Piece. A counterbalance to the fair imbalance, and like James said, I think we're going to get into a song right here. Here we go.
See the crystal raindrops fall, and the beauty of it all is when the sun comes shining through to make those rainbows in my mind. When I think of you sometime, and I want to spend some time with you, just the two of us. We can make it if we try. We look for love, no time for tears. Wasted water's all that is, and it don't make no flowers grow. Good things might come to those who wait, but not for those who wait too late. We gotta go for all we know. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us.
Together, baby. you know you should be glad. With a love like that, you know you should be glad.
Alright, we're gonna get into a little community plugs for you guys, let you know how to get involved upcoming week or so. See, we got later on today, community drumming, 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Park Service Grants Drum Permit at DuPont Circle. Check out more information at www.rhythmworkersunion.org. rhythmworkersunion.org. And they're looking for drummers of all persuasions, rhythmists, and I guess we're just going to hang out in the DuPont Circle and get that going. And this is an ongoing event that we've been talking about a lot, the Troops Home Fest. Check it out at from 12 to 2 or 5 to 7. Those are the peak hours, but they should be around doing stuff all the way in between, too. But they got thousands of people pledged to fast. They meet at the White House at Lafayette Park, and they're fasting memory of the dead and wounded and calling for independence from war and for our nation to be a democracy it was created to be, not an empire. And check that out, dc@codepinkalert.org, and email dc@codepinkalert.org. And thought I had some other guys do some C plugs, but they went out. But keep going tomorrow. Protect your privacy rights in the Fourth Amendment at 6:45 p.m. Quinton Driscoll of the Social Action and Leadership School for Activists of the Institute for Policy Studies. Recent news reports indicate the government has easily obtained the call records of millions of American telephone users without a warrant. Earlier reports indicate that the NSA has monitored international emails and telephone communications without prior approval of the FISA court. More alarming are polls which indicate that most Americans do not object to the government snooping. This class will focus on the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution, which protects the privacy rights of the American. It will notice the evolution of the law from private property concepts to concerns about a citizen's reasonable expectation of privacy. And they're meeting 1112 16th Street Northwest, Suite 600, 1112 16th Street. It's Quinton Driscoll talking about privacy rights. More information, you can register at www.hotsalsa.org. And, Thursday, African Fiesta, the Power of the Drum, taking place at Alpha Shawe Cafe, 4132 Georgia Avenue. Take the Petworth stop in the Metro, and head to Georgia Avenue between Upshur and Taylor in Northwest D.C. To check out the Power of the Drum with Nana Frimpong and Roots of Africa, with Ghana's master drummer Nana Frimpong on kalimba, presents his band and other musicians and poets from 6:30 to 11 p.m. More information, call 917-681-7228 or 202-722-0150. And keep going here. Let's see, we got 11 a.m. on Saturday. Title, Creating Change in D.C. Public Schools. It's taking place also at the Alpha Shawe Cafe on Georgia Avenue. Saturday from 11 to 1. It's going to be featuring music, poetry, role plays by young artists, plus action groups trying to speak the truth, to renew our resolve and step up on key issues like race, rights, equality, arts, music education, civics education, vocational education, and disposal of public school property and privatization. This is sponsored by Plymouth, UCC, Board of Social Action, and the People's Media Center at Cafe Alpha Shawe. We got other collaborators including Empower DC, Just Associates, Urban Housing, Fix Our Schools and Salsa. And other groups include Parents United 1DC, Youth Education Alliance, Youth Action Research Group, Fix Our Schools, Parents United, DC Congress of PTA, Save Our Schools, Teaching for Change, NAACP, and more. Join us, and you can contact again, 917-681-7228. And that's again, it's a Creating Change in DC Public Schools, Saturday, 11 to 1, Georgia Avenue, Alpha Shawe, be there. And yeah, we're going to try and get into Revolutionary 2 to finish up for you guys. Yeah, this has been That Fresh Radio piece. Been a good show. We had a lot going on. And yeah, and here is the Revolutionary Etude.